you're going to get better as you get more comfortable with the microphone, as you get more comfortable talking about whatever it is that you're passionate about. A lot of times our biggest critic is ourselves. The more you do it, it's literally just believing that other people are going to believe and receive your message.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of POP, the podcast on podcasting. And I'm stoked because Ryan Roy is on the show and he recently interviewed me on his show. I'm pretty sure I got a little choked up on that episode. I always do when I put my heart into my kids. And what's interesting is you've started a show quite a while back, and I think you've done like 300 or more episodes on a podcast, Ryan, called I Don't Know Jack About Parenting. And one of the things that I want to share with the listener is, I mean, with the amount of experience that you've had, there's definitely a lot of pros. There's definitely some cons as well, things that you might want to do differently. So I want to start with going into why you started that, how you started that, and then maybe discuss what would you do differently. And what I think is awesome is you're actually starting the FBI Dads, the one that I got interviewed for. And so around the time that this episode airs, FBI Dads is live on iTunes as well. So we'll be launching these both around the same time, which hopefully might even support the growth. So if you're listening to this podcast, please do a giant favor. This only happens every once in a while. Search for FBI Dads by Ryan Roy. And if it's available, which it probably is, because we're going to kick him right in the butt and make sure that it's launched by the time this is up, jump over there and listen to the podcast, especially if you're a father or a mother. I know mothers get a lot of value out of this as well. And listen to an episode or two and maybe find my episode because he'll be launching mine, one of the first ones, I think. And if you liked it, give him an honest rating and a review on his new podcast, which is launching as we speak, FBI Dads. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Adam, and I appreciate you having me on the POP podcast. Excited to be here and excited to just share any wisdom and hopefully a couple nuggets where somebody can learn and grow and not have to go through some of the growing pains that I went through.
Love it. And I don't remember, I thought you were on the East Coast. Is it Florida?
I'm on the East Coast. I'm Georgia, originally from Florida. Georgia. So yes, you're accurate. Got it. Those palm trees in the background.
Oh, yeah.
It's a podcast.
True. Yeah, I'm in Denver. And it's kind of cool. You just flew into Denver recently for a little trip. Good stuff. Well, let's jump in. I want to talk about your first podcast. How long did it take you to get, short answer, I know. How long did it take you to get to 300 episodes? Just curious.
So 2 years.
Nice. I did it. That's like three a week.
So it's three a week if you average it that way, but I had a goal to do it 5 days a week for 1 year. And that was going well, but it was a lot of work. So I did it Monday through Friday. I did 250 episodes the first year. And then the second year, I went to a weekly podcast. And okay. Then at 300, I said, you know what? I'm capped here. I think it's going on to different things. It evolved into, I don't know jack about parenting. And I'll tell you the origination of that title in a second. And I said, well, I do know something about parenting. So now it's going into FBI Dads, the podcast, and FBI stands for Fathers Being Involved.
Fathers Being Involved. Awesome. Well, I want to like take us back a couple of years then, because you said it took you about the two-ish years to get to 300 episodes. It's remarkable. I commend you. What are you confident that you did really, really well with that first podcast that you'll do again on the next podcast?
So I think without fail, the number one thing I did for myself, which was show up, and I showed up every single day. I'll be transparent and honest, similar to FBI Dads, the podcast. I got a few in the hopper, if you would. So I had 20 in the can before I launched, but it was a daily podcast. So 20 goes by really quick. It's a month. And I remember there was only one time where life and circumstance happened where I kind of got where there was only two in the hopper or in the can, as they say in podcasting. But then I just started recording again. And every time I had an idea for a show or a thought that I wanted to share, I had a board and I always have scrap paper next to me. And I always had a list of ideas so that when I needed to batch record, I could batch record. But just showing up and making sure those things went out every single day for an entire year is probably what I did really well.
So you used, first off, I commend you for being so consistent. Five a week for a year is insane. But additionally, just wanted to find out a little bit more about your process and how you were able to do that. You said you had a whiteboard and a scratch piece of paper, and you tried to keep things in the hopper or in the can. You said you got down to two in the can, and then when it got there, you started to record a little bit more. So could you go into more detail on just the process that you implemented that allowed you for 12 months to do five a week for 52 weeks in a row? Because that sounds like a challenge to most of us.
And it is a challenge, and I don't wish it on my worst enemy. No, you know what? The process is this. First of all, I want to say that I had an editor. I had somebody to help me with making sure sound quality was good, things of that nature. So I outsourced that. And I never did any research on how to do this. So if it's anything that doesn't make any sense to anybody that you've read, just know I just kind of did it with what little knowledge I had. So my process was record. For my editor, it worked for he and I because he never really edited for podcasts before. He's a good friend of mine. And he's like, look, I'll charge you next to nothing. I believe in what you're doing. So let's get these up. So I would record. I did them all in video, first of all. The reason I did them in video is because we could use that material for other things. So they're all got uploaded to YouTube. From YouTube, he had access to my YouTube channel and he would pull it off of YouTube and do what he needed to do. And then he would put it up on, I use Anchor. Anchor had the RSS feed and that just pushed it out. So my whole process for me was have a great topic, have a great title, and record and upload immediately to YouTube. And then fortunately for me, and I know not everybody has this, I had somebody on the other end putting together the artwork and things of that nature.
One thing that you mentioned that is going to be important to bring out, because I don't want to gloss over it, is you mentioned that you did the topic and title, and then you did the recording. And what's kind of weird is I haven't been doing that. And I don't think most people do it. I think most people record an episode and they're like, what should we call this? And I really feel like that lack of intention behind that actual recording, it pulls the podcast value back quite a bit. But if you start with the topic and the title, then you can find a way to stay on topic and to keep your promise. Whatever the promise is, that's what happens with the title. When people see, what are we talking about here? And they see a name. If we figure that out ahead of time, it allows us to be able to stay on point, stay in the lines and support that promise that the listener's getting when they read, oh, that's what this is about, versus recording an episode and then coming up, oh, what's a catchy, what do they call them? What's a catchy clickbait title that I could have here? So I love that. So your process, I think, was a five-step process. Figure out the topic and title, then you record using video, then you get it edited by somebody else, you outsource it, then they put it on YouTube, and then that's brought onto your Anchor platform, which is a free syndication platform. We use Libsyn and Buzzsprout, and a lot of my clients use more of the paid ones. They're like $20, but Anchor is another one. It's just a free version of one, and they can also do some ads. And if you're listening and you want to know more about those ads, go to episode 30. Go to episode 30. That's going to be super, super, super important for you to pay attention to on this podcast. If you're getting excited about the ads that come through Anchor and Buzzsprout and Podbean and wherever else those ads will come through. You want to know the pros and the cons first, and that's on episode 30. But that five-step process, topic title, record using video, get it edited, offload it to somebody else, and then YouTube and then Anchor. Is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
What about marketing? Did you do any like quote cards or audiograms or anything in between to kind of get it out in front of more people?
Yeah. So at the beginning, when I first launched it, which was, I guess, 2019, January 2019, I did the entire year. I got on my Facebook. I got on my Instagram. In that editing process, my guy was making a little clip art, if you would, of the episode, the title, cool little graphic in the background. And I was putting that on my Facebook, my Instagram, things of that nature, asking people to watch, listen, and I'll be transparent. Those self-promotion for me is, I almost say difficult. I almost feel like it's like bragging at some point. And I'm not that type of person. I just like doing the work. I like putting it out there. So after about a month or two, and I was getting, I don't know, 75, 80 listens. And early on, I think I had one episode that hit like 150 listens. And this is early on. So I'm like, oh, I'm doing something right. I will be completely transparent and honest and say I stopped doing that. And obviously listenership dwindled a little bit. And you have to promote it.
Yeah.
And promotion was not my strong suit. Sharing the message, like doing the message, hitting record, getting it off to somebody that could do all the fancy stuff is kind of my sweet spot. So I strongly encourage anybody who's thinking about doing this and actually isn't doing it for vanity purposes, like, oh, I have a message and I want to hear myself talk. Because there are people who out there have podcasts and they record and put it up there and they're like, oh, I have a podcast. If you really want to make an impact and share your message and you believe it has value, you have to have a team around you that are going to help you promote it, in my opinion.
That's really good. And it's interesting that you went from like 75-ish up to like 150-ish listens per episode. And then it started to dwindle after you stopped staying in front of people. And that is interesting because I remember when I started my first podcast, I was nowhere near 75. I was at like 20 downloads per episode. I don't even know how many listens. I wasn't even tracking listens back then. I probably would have cried because some people download and don't listen. So here I was getting like 20 downloads per episode and it was frustrating. And it went on for a whole year until I started doing the self-promotion, until I started doing clip art and Facebook and Instagram and Facebook Lives on some of my podcast episodes for the podcasts that I have sold. I would do as much marketing as I could. I would get as many guests on the show as I could so that when the guests would come on the show, they would now know about my show as well. So I was like, do more. And it grew exponentially to like 100 and then 3,000 and then 3,500. And it just kept growing and until I was able to sell the podcast, but it didn't happen on its own. I was thinking to myself, man, what is the, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
I was thinking just because I have a podcast, Apple is going to be like, holy moly, Adam Adams has a podcast on real estate. I've got to get this out in front of the world. So I was thinking Apple was going to do my work for me. And it just 20 downloads. I'm like, what the F? Like, why is this taking so long?
I'm glad I have 20 really good friends who are supporting me at high levels.
And so finally I said, okay, I guess I got to take matters into my own hands. And so your experience, you did it in the beginning and it took off. I mean, you had 150 downloads for an episode and I never had that for a whole year. And you did that in the first month. And then we did reverse because I started doing it after a year because I was like, nothing's working. Apple's not promoting me. What the hell? And so for you, you're like, man, I don't want to self-promote myself. I feel bad doing this. And then it dropped. So it's super, super interesting. You gave us tons of good feedback. What I want to ask you is with your previous podcast that you got to 300 plus episodes, I don't know jack about parenting. With that one, if you started it all over again, even though you did a few things really, really well by outsourcing and getting the topic and the title first and getting that clip art and the process with somebody else. And by the way, let me say one quick thing. You found somebody to give you a major discount on the editing because they believed in your message. That's a takeaway for the listener right now. If you can have a vision that others can get behind, maybe if your budget isn't where you think it needs to be, you might be able to find somebody who can support you and help you just because they want to be part of that message. Anyway, Ryan, with your new podcast, as you're launching FBI Dads, and I know you've already recorded over a dozen episodes because I was one of them. As you're launching that, what do you think you need to do differently from that old podcast in order to get it out in front of the right people?
It's a great question. And the first thing that jumps out to me is like shamelessly promote myself because I do have a message. I have an FBI Dads program. It's not just a podcast that's in schools. And this program has been tremendously successful. As a matter of fact, early next month, I have a big presentation in front of the State of Georgia PTA to get into a number of schools. And they're excited to have me, right? I'm excited to introduce it to 1,000 different schools. And it's a strong message that needs to be heard. But nobody's going to hear it if I don't talk about it. So I could talk about it on a podcast, but like you, like Apple's not going to promote me. If I don't believe in me, so podcast listeners out there who are thinking about doing this or are doing it, like if you don't believe in yourself enough to promote it, nobody else is going to believe in it. So I think it's shamelessly promote myself. And actually for me, because I don't like necessarily doing that, but there are people I can pay to make sure that that happens.
Love it. Good stuff. Okay. So number one, shamelessly promote. And I got a quote that it really hit me hard, like someone punched me in the gut. It's a strong message, you said, Ryan. It's a strong message that you have, but nobody's going to hear it if I don't promote it. Love it. So number one, shamelessly promote. Is there any others that you could think of that you would definitely do a little bit differently as you're launching FBI Dads?
That's the big thing. I don't want to say that I did an excellent job, but what I would say to anybody doing this is you're going to get better as you get more comfortable with the microphone, as you get more comfortable talking about whatever it is that you're passionate about. I think a lot of times our biggest critic is ourself. And the more you do it and haven't done 300 episodes, it's literally just believing that other people are going to believe and receive your message. So for me, that comes into the promotion again. I'm just little old me in Georgia, right side of Atlanta, doing what I do. One of the biggest challenges I have, and I imagine a lot of people in podcasting, like I don't have a PhD behind my name, but I'm a dad and I got 10 years experience of being a dad. And I probably researched more than most PhDs have in the area because I'm passionate about being the best father I can be. So I do have the credentials, I just don't have a couple letters behind me. And I think that's a lot of self-sabotage for people.
So kind of what I'm hearing is that the message is important, you believe in it. And if we're starting a podcast and we have imposter syndrome, or we're nervous, or we're not sure if we're the right guy or the right girl to give this message, or we don't have the right credentials, or we don't have the same credentials, or we haven't done it as long, or we haven't done it for as many people. I only have 3 kids. Somebody else had 12. So they're the expert. They really know what they're doing. With my 3 or 4 or 1 kid, I'm not really quite there yet. So I definitely resonate with that. And I think it's something that beneficial for any new podcaster to understand that Ryan Roy feels that way. Adam Adams went through that and is going through that right now on this episode with Ryan. I feel a little bit of that imposter syndrome. Like, man, there's other people that could probably interview Ryan even better than me. Or man, there's other people that have been podcasting for ever since podcast came out in 2005 or six or seven or whatever it was. And I didn't do mine until 2017.
Yeah.
2017, 4 years ago. And I'm like, why would people trust me? Because I've only been doing it for 4 years. So it's tough. It's interesting that even I'm feeling that way after doing 500 and something episodes. And because there's always somebody better or has more experience or more money or more credentials or whatever the fact is, we can compare ourselves to lots of different people and feel like we don't measure up. But when we look a little bit differently, we can understand, hey, I've been a dad for 10 years. I studied this as much as I could because I wanted to do my best. I have a passion in my heart and it needs to get out. It's a strong message. And nobody's going to hear it if I don't promote it. A lot of good stuff. So I want to find out, Ryan, since you're about to launch a podcast,
yes,
are there any other questions, thoughts, or concerns that you would want to ask somebody, even though you've done 300 episodes, would ask somebody who's done 500 episodes or me, for instance? Is there any question that you have on how to grow it, what to do for the first 8 weeks or anything else?
And that's one of the things, and that's part of the reason, if I'm being 100% transparent, is what does that first 8 weeks talk about? Because like I said, the first time I did it, I just picked a date, beginning of the year, I'm going to launch, I had 20 in the bag, and I'm just going to do this thing. And I self-promoted. And now that I'm trying to do a little research and do it, quote unquote, those air quotes, the right way, so that I get those listeners and they could grow and my message goes out there. But you sit there and tell me your first year you had like 20 downloads, and I kick myself in the keister a little bit because I'm like, man, I was getting 50, 150, 75 consistently on a daily basis. And in my own mind, and I don't know where, like that wasn't enough. Or is like, oh, they'll just continue to stay even though I don't promote it, which is dumb because I know just some basic business knowledge that wasn't going to happen. So I guess my question to you would be, I know there's no perfect formula, but what would be a really good launch in those first 8 weeks? Like, what is iTunes, Apple, anybody really looking for? And I know there's no guarantee that I'll hit the parameters to get on the front page or anything like that. But if you were to give the advice, what would it be?
There's a couple things that need to be said about launching a top podcast. Anybody can launch a podcast. By the way, in the first six episodes of this show, it's like a little mini course. Episode three is more focused on a perfect launch and how to launch a top launch. But there's a couple pieces of the process that will help anybody. Number one is a pre-launch, and that's a strong four-week pre-launch. And what that means is, while you're recording, Ryan, when you recorded with me the other day and we had an episode right before you came out here to Colorado, during that time, you could have taken like one little thing from that episode, or you still have plenty of time to do it.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, I just interviewed Adam Adams on the podcast and he gave the three big takeaways and I'll save you the best two, but check out this third one that was still really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that incites a lot of curiosity to people. And then they're like, whoa, that's a lot of value. And that was only the third best one. There's two more better. I've got to listen to that podcast episode when it comes out. Or, and one of the other episodes that you might do that's 20 minutes in the car, you might do it on Facebook Live at the same time. So you jump into Facebook Live or YouTube Live because Facebook's algorithms favor going live.
Yes.
And there's all sorts of other social medias out there that will support you if you do it the way that they want you to do it. But with these Facebook Lives, instead of those 20 people that I had for a whole year, or the 50 or 75 or 150 that you were having for the first month, your Facebook will go in front of like 100 people or 300 people or 1,000 people. It's insane. Just you do a Facebook Live, you're finding a way to get in front of the most amount of people. But you don't have to, quote, self-promote. You can still do this from your heart. I just interviewed Adam Adams. He came up with three awesome things. And I don't even remember if I came up with three awesome things. Just pretend like I did, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up with three awesome
things. You came up with 30 awesome things. So there's going to be a lot of promotion on yours.
So I'm just going to mention one of them right now. And you're going to want to hear the other two that are even better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mention a really good thing, and that it helps other dads to be better dads, right? And so you're not being a self-promoter. You're supporting other dads and getting them excited and ready for the podcast that's going to launch in 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then on your Facebook Lives, you just go on and you don't have to be a self-promoter. You don't have to be high and mighty. You don't have to be, I'm the coolest guy ever. I'm the best guy ever. Just do a Facebook Live that pours in, hey, I was doing some studying on this. I haven't been doing this very well myself, but I'm recommitting right now. And I wanted to challenge you to recommit as well to do that thing. And yeah. So you record that episode and it's going to be on the podcast eventually, but you used it in two different ways. You went Facebook Live as well. So as you keep self-promoting or just promoting to help other dads during that first week, that's step one. Step two is your 8-week launch. And the things that you want to think about in your 8-week launch is the amount of episodes that you can publish on a regular basis during the first 8 weeks. And you want that to be the highest that you can fully commit to. And the next thing that you want to be doing during that 8 weeks is as much money, the highest amount of money that you can put to paid marketing in the first 8 weeks. If that is zero for you and you're listening and you're like, well, the highest amount for me is zero, that's fine too. Just take that and say, what's the most amount of episodes I can do? What's the highest amount that I could do paid marketing? And then third, you want to do what you are doing, Ryan, when you've launched that first podcast and it worked for you. You saw it work. And that is to self-promote, to put the clip art on Facebook and Instagram, to go on YouTube and post it through your posting platform, whichever one that you choose. Yep. During this 8 weeks, another couple of things that you can do, I want to share with you the algorithm, because anyone listening is going to want to understand the algorithm a little bit better. So here's what you want to focus on. If you want to get lots of Apple to be actually promoting you, the only way to do it is to get your own traction without them first.
Mm-hmm.
So in these first 8 weeks, just think of it as a big push for you. And what that algorithm is going to be looking at is A, downloads. Not only downloads, but first is downloads. Second is listens. So there's fewer listens than downloads. And some people have gone to Fiverr and paid for fake robot downloads.
Yeah.
And that does not support the podcast in any way because nobody's actually listening. They just got downloaded. And so you're working against the algorithm. So they look at the downloads, then they look at the listens. Then they look at the ratings and the reviews, which are the least effective for Apple and iTunes, but they are very effective in general, and they do go hand in hand with these other two. Additionally, they are social proof for your other listeners. And if you want to ever have a sponsor, it's social proof. So this is what I do. This is going to help you and anyone listening so much. You make some phone calls. And I recommend doing like 200 of these phone calls, Ryan. Like you call teachers that you know in the whole state of, in the teachers that you don't know in the whole state of Georgia, first off. And you just let them know what you're doing. And you say, Mrs. Beckstead. I'm making this up. I don't have a mixed Mrs. Beckstead, but I'm sure there is a one that exists.
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. Beckstead. My name is Ryan Roy. And I'm the founder of FBI Dads, which stands for Fathers Being Involved. And I've seen this problem. You give Mrs. Beckstead the problem. I've seen this problem with dads with X, Y, and Z. And that's why I started the podcast. I need your help because, now I'm giving you lots of stuff. The word because has some psychology behind it, that anything that has a because with it has more credibility. So Mrs. Beckstead's going to care more, even if your because was a BS because. It's not going to be a BS because. It's going to be a real one. But you'll just mention to her, I need your help because I need a couple people that I trust. That'll really pull on Mrs. Beckstead's heartstrings. Mm-hmm. I need a couple people that I trust to just listen to an episode or two. You say, just listen to an episode or two. because when you say the word just, it makes it sound easy. Just listen to an episode or two, and that makes them feel like, oh, okay, I only have to listen to one or two. Let me do this real quick because he trusts me. He's calling me. He needs my help. I want to support him and his cause because he told me that fathers are doing this one thing. So Mrs. Beckstead, I need your help because I need a couple people that I trust to just listen to an episode or two and leave an honest rating. Never ask, write this down, never ask for a 5-star rating. It goes against you. Least the lowest amount of people will actually take action if you ask for a 5-star. But if you just ask for an honest, I need a couple of people that I trust to listen to an episode or two and leave me an honest rating and review. It has to be honest. I look at that feedback and it will help me to be able to grow this to help all of the dads that are in your class, blah, 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 blah. And then you say, can I count on you? Can I count on you to listen to an episode or two? And this is during your first 8 weeks. You're calling lots and lots and lots of people, or you have an assistant calling a lot, or your kid, your daughter, your son calling lots and lots of people, your wife calling and saying, Mrs. Beckstead, I'm calling on behalf of my husband. He's doing this awesome thing, blah, 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 blah. All right. So that's during the first 8 weeks. The goal here is this solves that algorithm because they are going to download it. They're going to subscribe to it. And they're going to listen to one or two. And they're going to give you that honest rating and review that will help on iTunes. There's no proof that it helps a lot on iTunes. It'll help. But it also helped that social proof. It'll allow other dads, when they're seeing it, to see what teachers are saying and other dads and other moms are saying. So that social proofing can really support that growth. So that's the plan that I would give to you, Ryan, if you're launching.
No, and I love it. And there's so much good in there. And for those of you who are listening, I just have put together my FBI Dads program for duplication, and everything you're saying to me, Adam, right now is resonating because it's not necessarily what we say, but how we say it to get the ultimate result, right? And just one small thing that I say when someone leaves an FBI Dads breakfast, right? After they've just had a good time, they had an interaction with their kid, I have people at the front desk that welcome them. There's a script welcoming them. And a way to do it with a big smile and saying, we're glad you're here. Dad, what's your name? Get them a sticker. But when they're leaving and there's still someone at that front desk, there's something I have them say that's very key because we have multiple events a year. And what it is, hey, can't wait to see you next month. Because some dads will check it off their mental list of like, oh, I showed up to the school, I had a breakfast. But when we plant that seed, oh, I'm expected to come again next month. We know that dad is now thinking, well, I had a good time. My kid had a good time. Why not come next month? But if we don't plant that seed and say it a certain way, it may not hit them a certain way. So everything you just said to me in regards to how to make that phone call and the fact to make 200 phone calls plus, right? We don't have to stop at 200. Makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that.
That's really good. You know, it's funny. I just went to CrossFit like 2 days ago now. It was so exciting because now I'm using because and thinking about me using that word. It was exciting. And the reason why I'm saying that is that after 15 months of COVID lockdowns and the gyms being closed, especially here in Conifer, Colorado, it was like, I've been sad and missing it. And I started doing mountain biking because it's the only thing I could do, like without having to wear a mask and all this kind of stuff. So I went to CrossFit just 2 days ago. And on my first time there, the coach, Javier, said, while I was working out, he just goes, Adam, I'm glad you're here. And I don't know what the deal was, but I'm like, that felt so good. I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep showing up. He likes me. He's glad I'm here. And so when you mentioned your script of as people are leaving or coming into your breakfast or leaving the breakfast, just being able to let them know, I'm glad you're here, Dad, what's your name? And when Javier said that, it made an actual impact in my life. And I remember thinking about the psychology. I'm like, just because I'm like a skeptic myself, I'm like, is he actually glad I'm here? Or does he know that that's going to make me want to come back because it's working? So anyway, that's very interesting.
Well, and also, I'm the same way. What I look at is like a sales guy who's really good at sales. And I respect that he understands his craft.
Yeah,
because it's working on me. And I'm like, man, he's good at what he does. And he's saying all the right things. And I understand sales and the psychology of it, all of those things. And when someone does it well, I just appreciate it, because what happens is it becomes ingrained in them. Just like you just said, you're using the word because. It's because you understand the value in it. And it's just become part of your repertoire. You're not doing it consciously anymore. You're doing it subconsciously because it has worked for you for so long. So I think that's what happens to great salespeople. That's what happens to people who are really good at what they do. They do it genuinely because it has yielded the results they desire. And typically when you're doing these things, the results are positive, whether that's money or just relationships in your life. When you're thanking people for being here, man, I'm really glad you're here, Adam. You know what? Just like you haven't been able to go to the gym, he's been showing up to work in an empty gym. And he's happy to see people getting back on their fitness journey the way that he values most. Why? Because he is obviously a trainer in that gym. So he is happy you're there.
I love it. Thank you, Ryan. I'm going to switch gears a little bit to talk about FBI dads, because, man, I can't even not say that word without thinking into it. Wait, they're thinking about, I'm saying the word. Anyway, as we talk about FBI dads, I know that many of my listeners that are part of this podcast, they come because they are part of a business and they want their podcast to generate revenue somehow. You are doing the exact same thing. FBI Dads podcast that's launching about the exact same time that this is aired on live and ready to go is part of a business. So could you tell the listener and me a little bit more about your actual business, what you do, who you serve, and then talk about how that podcast is going to be integrated with the business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll just give you a quick origin story of the FBI dads. When I got into elementary school, my backstory is I was abandoned by my own dad at age 5. So when I realized I was about to be a father myself, I wanted to be the exact opposite of what my father was to me, which was absent. And I wanted to be fully present and engaged. And I did that for the first 5 years of his life. And then he was going off and I was putting him in charge of somebody else, right? Going off to an elementary school. But I wanted to be involved there. And soon I found out there was a dad's group. Well, the dad's group was literally myself and one other guy. And he said to me, and it wasn't called FBI dads at the time. He said to me, he goes, man, this is it. The dads just don't want to be involved. And I was like, in my core, Adam, I knew that was wrong because I was a dad and I wanted to be involved. And I knew if I felt this way, I wasn't singularly focused. And I took over the dad's group. So I grew it. The first time I did a breakfast event, I had 6 dads. And I'm proud to say it's up to over 400 involved dads at the school right now, in where the student population is a little over 1,200. So this has brought a lot of notoriety, a lot of awards to the school. And a lot of people are saying, well, how do I get one into my school? And I have created a blueprint and I am in the process right now of launching that blueprint. I have that meeting with the Georgia PTA and I have a few others lined up here in the near future. So the business model is sell the blueprint on how to run a successful FBI Dads program in your school. And how does the podcast play a role into that? Well, I would love to see an FBI Dads program in every single school. And right now I'm located geographically here in Georgia, right? So it's easier to do it from here. But a podcast interviewing dads, interviewing principals, interviewing just people who have experienced the program or experienced what it's like to not have a dad's program in their school and the impact that would have, that listenership could go around the country and around the world. And if somebody says, oh, what's this FBI Dads podcast? And they hear a dad talk about how awesome it is for them to interact with their kid at their schools, at their child's place of work, I call that school, because we all know how important work is to dad. But if they can show up and hear that on a podcast, in that podcast, well, I will self-promote, right? It'll be something like, hey, and if you want an FBI Dads program in your school, go to fbidads.com. and give us your information. We'll send you some information out. So the idea is, geographically, I am located here, but I want it to be all over the place. And I think interviewing those who understand the father role and the importance of it in schools will help me get it into more and more schools around the country.
How do you build like an email list through a podcast? Is there a way that for you or your plan of when you launch this or when you go on other people's podcasts on how to build a following of people that truly care about this same message?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I go on other people's podcasts, I have a lead magnet. And well, there's multiple lead magnets, but for the sake of the show, I'll share, we have what's called the Dad's Daily 4, because I want dads to connect with their kids. So the Dad's Daily 4 is 4 simple things that you could do that take less than 4 minutes a day, because a lot of times dads, we got to overcome objections, right? And the objection for a dad is, well, I'm super busy. I love my kids, but I got to work. And then after I'm off work, I have to do this. And they don't spend dedicated time. So I call it the Dad's Daily 4, and they could go to fbidads.com/. And on your show, right? And I'll set this up. It's fbidads.com/AAA, because you're the AAA, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I do that, and I do it for every show that I'm on, is I'm on somebody else's podcast next week, and his name is Warren. I want it easy, but I can track where that lead magnet is coming from, what show, which show gave me the best. Do I want to be a repeat guest on that show? Did I get any downloads? No downloads. So for me, it's FBI Dads/whatever, and that brings them to the Dad's Daily 4. I like to share what the Dad's Daily 4 is. And in my world, it's simple. Say or show these 4 things. Most dads didn't hear this from their own fathers in our generation. It's, I love you. Tell your kids every day you love them. Tell your kids every day, whether in words or through actions, that you believe in them. My son's a baseball, simple example. He didn't hit one ball, not one base hit all season long. Every time he went up to bat or when we were going to games or practices, I believe in you. You're going to get a hit this season. I said it. He's like, but Dad, I haven't. Doesn't matter. I know you can, and I believe in you. Tell your kids you trust them. Sometimes a kid will say, hey, do you think I can do this? Like, do you think I could jump off this 6-foot rock at the park? Do you trust that you can? Have you jumped from 3 feet before? If you believe in you, I believe in you, and I trust that you'll land safely. And moms out there are probably cringing right now, like, no way, I'm not letting my kid do that. But I'm there to help them, so I trust you. And then the 4th thing in the Dad's Daily 4 is, I'm proud of you. What are you proud of your kids for? Your kids do amazing things every single day. And if you could wind down your day after you heard about their day at school, or you witnessed something they did, or maybe they helped a kid at the park that fell off the slide, right? Fell off on their butt, and they kind of laughed together, but they helped them up. Say to them, hey, you know, we're at the park today and I saw from a distance that kid fell off the slide and you just helped him up. That makes me proud that you think of others, a perfect stranger, and help them up. Whatever it is, tell your kids you're proud of them, because there's nuggets every single day that you could do that. And if you do that, whether you join an FBI Dads program, start a program, go to a breakfast, buy a t-shirt, whatever that is, if you do those 4 things consistently, you're going to have a much better connection and relationship with your kids than if you don't.
So that again, it's, you said fbidads.com/AAA, AAA, Adam A. Adams. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. And then I want to suggest, Ryan, I think you're going to be launched at the time that this is out. So here's the call to action for you as the listener. If you believe in Ryan's message, it doesn't matter if you're a dad yet or a mom or anything in between. If you believe in the message, you want to support something like this, go find FBI Dad's podcast and please leave him a rating and a review.
An honest one.
Honest rating and review.
Because,
right.
It's important.
Ryan, what final words do you want to say? And then let us know the best way we can find you and get a hold of you.
Final thoughts. I do a lot of these podcasts, interviews for FBI dads, and I imagine a lot of you, your audience are podcasters, right? And many of them are promoting a business. And what I would encourage you, if you have children, is it goes by way too fast. And a lot of these things are very important, but the most important thing to a child is your time and the time you spend with them. Even if it's a small amount of time, 10, 15 minutes a day of dedicated time towards your children will increase that relationship for a lifetime. They will remember those deep talks. So spend time with your kids, even if it's only 15 minutes a day. It's a small sacrifice with huge upside and gains. And then what was your second part of the question?
The second part was, what's the best way for the listener to find you?
Oh, the best way to find me is you could go to fbidads.com. My contact information is there. If you wanted to find me on other socials, if you would, or other websites, you could go to ryanroy.me. Professionally, I am a life coach. So you could learn a little bit more about me there. And I've also written a best-selling book. It's called Be the Dad You Wish You Had. And you can find out more information about that at bethedadyouwishyouhad.com. But all my contact information is on all those sites.
Awesome. Those will be in the show notes. So you can just scroll down right now, click on any of them. Ryan, thank you for jumping on the podcast. It's fun always doing podcast interview swaps. I recommend it to any listener. It definitely helps boost both of our credibility, both of our names, to you get on mine, I get on yours. And it's also just a lot of fun to be able to talk to the same person more than one time, because then you really start to grow relationship with people. So I highly recommend these interview swaps to other listeners. And if you're listening and you would like to do an interview swap with me, feel free to reach out. Just go to growyourshow.com, schedule a call with me, and I'm more than happy to do an interview swap with you. All right, we're out of here. Thanks, guys. See you next time. This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.